Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you imagine being Martin Luther? Can you imagine the stress of being a professor, a pastor, a publisher, a proclaimer of the Reformation, in a sense, a political figure, and even parent to six children? And on top of it all, can you imagine people recording everything that you would say? He would have students that would go with him to dinner, and they would write down their dinner conversations. It would all just be a little much. And as you could imagine, Martin Luther at times would feel overwhelmed and overworked. He would feel stressed, and in times he was deeply depressed. And so thank God for Katie Luther. There is a story about a time when Luther had fallen into a deep, dark depression, and his wife, a former nun, was going to do something about it. So she dressed up all in funeral black and walked around the house very depressed. And this caught the attention of Martin Luther, and he asked her, "Katie, why are you dressed like that?" And she answered bluntly, "Christ is dead, and I'm going to his funeral." And being a pastor, how do you think he responded to that? He said, "He's not dead, Katie. Christ is risen. He's alive." And she said, "Indeed, he is. Now you can start acting like it." And at once, he cheered up. Just like Martin Luther, we can have moments in our lives and we lose hope. And when we lose sight of Christ's resurrection, we lose sight of our hope. And in life, we can have many things that can avert our eyes from that precious hope. It could be a situation at work in which we're just powerless to change. Maybe retirement can leave you struggling with meaning and direction in life. There can be a situation that might be going on that just makes you throw up your hands and say, "What happened? Why is this going on?" The doctor can say, "These results don't look good. We need to talk now." This morning, Paul reminds us and he teaches us about the importance of the resurrection. He tells us about the hope that we have in it. And as Paul wraps up his letter to the Corinthians, he addresses one last problem, and arguably, it is the most important one. And in our text, Paul gets right to it. He says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." Apparently, some in the Corinthian congregation were denying a bodily resurrection. And Paul says that if one denies a bodily resurrection, then you will ultimately deny the resurrection of Jesus. He says you can't have one without the other. This is a serious issue. So why is this denial cropping and popping up here? Simply put, it was a common thought in Paul's day. In Greek culture, people did not believe in a resurrection of the body. They placed a greater emphasis on the soul and had a little regard for the body. Their poets and philosophers and historians taught nothing about the hope of a resurrection. And one of their poets famously said, "When the dust has drained the blood of a man, once he is slain, there is no resurrection." Pretty clear. But the Greeks also believed that at death the soul would cross the river Styx to the gloomy world of the shades. And notice, there's no mention of the body there. And we know that in his ministry, Paul was teased about his belief in the resurrection. When he preached at nearby Athens about it, they about laughed him out of town. But along with the social influence, Paul also battled an Epicurean one, Acts tells us. The philosopher Epicurus encouraged the pursuit of pleasure and serenity. He taught, "Avoid pain and passions and superstitious fears, especially the fear of death." He taught pleasure was the chief goal of life, and they downplayed death by saying it's just nothingness. Doesn't this sound a bit like 2019? It seems that some of these ideas creeped into the Corinthian congregation and into their thinking. And so Paul is going to correct that. But as we reflect on Paul's context, we really see our world is no different. Our world still denies a resurrection. Our news and our culture and our books, they deny that idea as well. Our world still echoes these ancient thoughts, but really just repackages them. Our world and culture says things like, I believe in science. Look to that. If science can't do it, it's not possible. A resurrection is out of the realm of possibility. And while I think you would be hard-pressed to find someone who believes that our souls cross the river Styx at death, it's very common to find people who believe in God or in heaven, a place where good people go. But these are shallow beliefs, ones that aren't in Christ or in a bodily resurrection. And our world even reflects those Epicurean thoughts with mottos and philosophies that stress this life is it. We hear it with phrases like YOLO, you only live once, or carpe diem, seize the day, or eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die, or you only have one life to live, make it count. Our world really does deny a resurrection, which in turn denies Christ's resurrection. And as Paul points out, this has devastating consequences. In the following verses, he says that if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching and our faith would be in vain. Without the resurrection, Paul says it eliminates the point of Christianity. He says, in a sense, why then come to church? Why brave the cold and snowy weather? Why risk your life following Jesus? Why go to seminary or read God's word? If Christ has not been raised, it would be a hoax and everything would be meaningless and we'd be better off abandoning it. And Paul follows this up with the implications for him and for God. He says, if Christ had not been raised, it would make God a liar, since the scriptures had promised it. It meant that God didn't keep his word and that he let down those who had hoped in him. But Paul says, this would make me a liar as well for spreading this message. And he says he wouldn't be just misrepresenting God. He says he would have literally been a pseudo-martyr, a liar martyr, a liar witness, a false witness. Paul and his companions would have been frauds and fakes and phonies. But it gets worse. Paul says if Christ had not been raised, he says we would still be in our sins, for his victory over sin would be incomplete. We would still be weighed down and stuck in them. They would cling to us. Growing up, my family lived on the Fox River, which had a mud bottom, and it was not really a good swimming river. We only went swimming in it a few times, and every time you'd put your foot down into the water, you had to pull it back up out of the mud. But in doing so, you would get your other foot stuck because you had to plant it down even further. And so to get out, you'd kind of need to waddle to shore, or try to find something which you could pull yourself out on. And I remember losing some swim shoes down there just from the suction. It would suck them right off your feet. But this is just like our sin, but on a grander scale. We can never pull ourselves out. Try pulling our right foot out, only gets our left foot stuck in deeper. We would be stuck in our sins and get weighed down the more we tried to escape. We would only make things worse. Sin would cling to us and we would keep sinking and remain stuck. And it would be like this not just before God, but before each other as well, because we would still be defined by these sins as well. But just as bad, Paul says we wouldn't just be stuck in our sins. This would be it if Christ had not been raised. I remember my mom talking to Mr. Stevig after my sister had passed away, and the Stevigs were teachers in Wakanda who had lost their only son. And I remember my mom asking him, "How did you move on after this?" And he answered, "I didn't." And he slowly walked away sad. He wasn't a believer, and neither was his son. But without Christ and his resurrection, that would be us. This would be it, this life with all of its pains and its troubles and its heartaches and its tragedies. That would be it. This would be the end. There would be no hope for the dead. And for those who have fallen asleep, there would be no hope for you and for me. We would be resigned to this bleak outcome. And Paul finishes it by saying, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Simply put, if Christ had not been raised, we would have a false hope. In life, we can grab on to hope in the midst of trying times, whether it's a big hope or a small one, it's at least hope, and that hope gets us through it. But without Christ's resurrection, we would have a false hope, and a false hope is always empty and unfulfilling and misleading and dead and useless. It's grounded in nothing and is a lie. It's better to have a little hope than a false hope. We really would be the people most to be pitied. We'd have no hope in life. Christ's resurrection really is an important thing. And Paul finishes the text by saying, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ is risen. And what does that mean? It means that our preaching and faith are not in vain. We can count on them. We can trust in them. They are grounded in reality and truth. A professor I had once said, the gospel is based in history, but it's not a reminder of past events. It is the powerful delivery of the fruits of Christ's death and passion and resurrection to create faith, to comfort us, and give us a sure and certain hope of a future life with Him. That is why our preaching and faith are not in vain. And because Christ has been raised, it means we're no longer in our sins. His resurrection is the proof of our salvation. And just before our text, we get a great reminder of this. In the verses just before, Paul mentions six post-resurrection appearances. And three of them are rather significant. Three of them were just to three soul individual people. Who were they? Peter, the one who denied Jesus and left him for dead. It was James, his half-brother, who thought he was crazy and whom he didn't believe in. It was Paul, one of the greatest persecutors and Christian killers of the first century. Jesus appeared to each of them individually. He showed them the grace they did not deserve, and they were no longer in those horrendous sins. Those past acts weren't counted against them. Or remember, God accepted Christ's death for all sins. The sins we get stuck in, things like anger and greed and lust and covetousness, they are forgiven. Those sins that others might define us by don't define us in God's sight because of Christ. We are forgiven like Peter and Paul and James. His resurrection is the proof of our justification. And his resurrection means that death is not the end. Because he lives, I will live. Because he rose, I too will one day rise. Which believers in Christ do you look forward to seeing again? Which believer in Christ do you miss the most? I had a professor once who came to class all excited, and he was telling us why he was so excited. He had bought a funeral plot next to his favorite church musician, and he was excited at the prospect of when the dead would be raised, that he would hear his favorite musician singing praise to Jesus. And it's a little over the top, but his hope is spot on. Christ will raise us and all believers. We can count on it, and we can look forward to it as well. And last of all, we have real hope. Because He is risen, we have a hope in the midst of terrible doctor results. We have a hope in death when work problems arise. We have hope, and we have hope when nothing makes sense. And this hope is cemented in baptism, where we have become members of Christ's body. His resurrection guarantees yours. His resurrection confirms your hope, your life, your future, and your faith. Cannot think of a better way to finish off a sermon on Christ's resurrection with the classic Easter proclamation. And I would love to have you join me in saying it. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In His name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who has been raised from the dead. Amen.